And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show Podcast, Basket Buds Edition, here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We got Josh Huestis, we got Jay King, we got Schlecht, we got Dufour producing, and we got a hell of a show for you today. We're going to open up the Hot Take Safe Zone. We're going to check in on the panic meter. We're going to remind you, subscribe to The Bounce. It is a free email newsletter every single day, Monday through Friday, in your inbox every morning. Get the best coverage of the sports world on The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page. You can watch us talk. You can watch Jay King get visibly frustrated in the Hot Take Safe Zone when you're not allowed to negate takes. You're only allowed to ask questions. Watch how he tries to ask questions about it. It is very, very entertaining. Before we get into the Hot Take Safe Zone, guys, I do want to just talk about something real quick. I have been having a tough time. I was going to retire from this podcast. And then Schlecht and Dufour, you know, I'm really lucky to have friends like them because they talked me out of it. I didn't remember what the word podcast actually means. I'd never updated it in my lexicon. I'd never updated the understanding of it. I've been thinking about podcasts as a 15-year-old, you know, and now I'm in my early 40s. It's time for me to get the podcasting help that I need. And so I just wanted to be open and honest about that today. This Draymond Green renaissance? What are we calling this? Like, you know what's funny about this whole thing? Draymond Green comes out there with,
is this a renaissance?
This is, I don't know what it is. You know what it is?
That's the right word.
It's a big heaping pile of, excuse my language, earmuff the kids in the car, bullshit. I laughed so hard at this video this morning. Like, Draymond has been for years going, you're not ready. This is new media. You did like a 40-minute apology? That's not even an apology. It was like an apology to yourself, not to anybody else. Like, you were out for 3 weeks?
He's had progress meetings, Zach.
What does that mean?
Progress meetings.
No, you just repeated the words again. You didn't explain that to me.
That's a good question. It was like Lawrence Frank's reports. Who knows what were in them? Nobody knows.
Those Lawrence Frank
reports. We just know he had to do them.
Oh, those are goated. I host a podcast called Cinephobe, where we break down bad movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes. We try to ascertain if they're properly poorly rated or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe. It's myself and Amin El Hassan, produced by Anthony Mays, wherever you get podcasts. In that every episode, we have an award for who was the most ass on, right? Who, like, someone acts their ass off. It's like, wow, what a great performance. Someone is horrible. We give it an ass on award. That entire Draymond thing was an ass on award. Like, he podcasted his ass on. That was one of the weirdest displays, one of the weirdest performances I've ever seen from him. From anybody. And Josh, like, I just don't, are we supposed to buy that? Or is this just, we put it out there, it's public PR. Like, who's buying this other than this, like, maybe Draymond fans and like Warriors fans that really want this thing to get fixed?
Well, isn't this like the playbook for like celebrity screw-ups?
Yes.
Regardless of sports, actors, politicians, it's, they say it's something racist or they do something stupid in public. Where do they go? What do? They apologize. They say, I was on Ambien or I have a problem, and they go to rehab And they're like, I'm dealing with a real issue.
I just got
issue.
A prescription for
Ambien. I'm going
Ambien,
to rehab.
So check, I'm going to have up. A real good
We're
gonna month.
We're
going
to get some wild text. But you know what I mean? It's that whole thing where it's like, hey, I have a problem. I am a victim, too, of something out of my control. Mm-hmm. I need to go get help. Don't blame me because I am just a victim of the disease I'm fighting.
Right.
And then everybody's like, you know, good for them.
Is being good is for them. Like, look, and I say this as one, okay? Is being an asshole a disease?
An asshole? I knew it. How did I know?
Josh, we've been communicating too much. And I don't even mean that. Like, I'm not trying to like be mean about that with Dre. Like, he's an asshole. I'm an asshole. Like, I can admit, yeah, like,
if you're gonna
like,
be an asshole, you also have to be good. There's no room to be an asshole and not be good. That's your problem. But you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be an asshole, there's athletes that are assholes all the time. But if they're good, everybody's just like, okay.
Right? Yeah.
They're like, fine. Was it
major but he's not as good anymore.
Well, was it Major League when Pedro Serrano got, like they talked to him. They kind of had an intervention with him. He came back. It was just a super nice guy and could not hit anymore.
Major League 2. Major League, that's the second one.
He just could not hit anymore because he cured himself of
he was too nice.
All the ills in his
that's
life.
That's what I'm saying. Like
Draymond Green is going to come back hugging opponents. He's going to come back like high-fiving refs, and he's going to be terrible at basketball.
Did you ever read Tim Grover's book? You guys know Tim Grover's been. What did he say? He said, everybody great has to have a dark side.
Yeah.
If you're going to be great, you have to have a dark side. And if you get maybe
Tim Grover, by the way,
he's gotten rid of his.
Whoa. I read that book. That dude's a psychopath.
Psychopath. They made us read that in college. And I read that. I was like, really? this is what you want?
Wow.
Yeah. What kind of college classes were you taking?
And then right sorry. Right Johnny Dawkins. Johnny Dawkins gave it to our team.
I wanted the team to read it.
And was our that before or after he gave you the 48 Laws of Power to read?
Oh, man. We were the type that was the Tim Grover, and we had like the Navy SEALs come in one preseason.
Oh,
like, we were all
God.
About the whole, yeah, that was our style.
Did you train with the Navy SEAL or just?
We did one day with the Navy SEALs. I swear to God, I've never been more tired in my life.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
But it was 2 hours on the basketball court, 2 hours in the pool, and then 2 hours in sand.
2 hours. That's only 6 hours, though. You know, you got a whole 18 hours to recover after that.
I swear, like, I remember being done and trying to leave the locker room. I physically could not lean over to put my socks on because my entire body cramped up.
Hey, man.
And I just laid in the locker room for like an hour and a half.
I did a soul cycle class once, and I thought.
Yeah, so you can relate.
I thought my quads died. Yeah, it's just look for a non-college basketball athlete. Yeah, it's the
Zach's
same
like,
thing.
I can empathize. I get it. I've been there. No, I did a soul cycle one time.
The instructor came over and cranked the resistance on my bike to the max, and I was like, "What's wrong with you? You're a psychopath."
Right. Guys like Jay can't relate.
Jay, yeah. Well, he went 2-21 in college.
I tried out for a G League team. When I
How'd
was
that go?
Like 26 and so
He's
far
sitting here
out
with
of
us.
Shape. And it was a 7 or 8 hour tryout and I wanted to die at the end. I could not stand up straight for a full week.
I tried out for the N1 tour.
You guys get it. Us elite athletes, we're all on the same page.
Yeah. Bob McKinnon had my ass
So Draymond sucks up to Adam Silver in it. He sucks up to Bob Myers in it. March, let's say March is the next incident. Like, when do we, like, this isn't, because also, like, all right, I watch a lot of Bar Rescue, okay? And Bar Great Rescue, show. John Taffer will
Shut
come in.
Shut it down.
And, like, try to fix someone's, like, childhood trauma, loss. Like alcoholism
in 2 days,
problems.
Two days, and then it's like, and then they put on nice clothes. There's the new bar opens or whatever. Yeah. He's like, well, my job's done. You like if Draymond has real issues that he's working through here, 3 weeks off of work is not going to fix it, right? And so, what does Adam Silver do? What does Joe Dumars do when this happens again? Because it's not like he's not cured. Like you can get help and have. Issues still and good times and then relapses of whatever that he's relapsing from. Again, I just think he's been an a-hole and I say that lovingly.
On the basketball court, right? Like, we haven't heard anything about Draymond off the court.
Didn't he hit like a Michigan State football player at a bar once a few years ago?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But Stephen A. Smith loves him and says he's the best type of person. Hey,
man. I respect
that. I will say, I think it'll work. If he has like just been sitting in his house doing nothing the 3 weeks, not going to happen. But if he has like actually been like going to see somebody and he continues to do it,
but
maybe.
That doesn't stop it from happening in the future. It can curb and you can learn and everything, but I think it's going to happen again. Right. He's going to hit somebody again or push someone. Well, like, there's going to be another altercation. And yeah. Then
no, I agree.
What do you do as the league? I'm not, the league has set this precedent now of we're going to do an indefinite suspension. You're going to do counts and everything. When it happens again, now what?
Right.
You suspend him more? Do you give him more counts? Like, what does that look like? That's the thing that I'm confused about this whole new process. And again, like, no, I wrote this in the bounce, yeah. I think when it happened, of I'm going to sound like a hypocrite here, but like, I think this is both a good and a bad way of handling this. The indefinite suspension of like, hey, we don't know. We know we have to do something. We don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to give you an indefinite suspension. We'll figure out from there. I think there is something to that idea of, look, we are going to figure out what is the best recourse for figuring out how to help you with an issue that we think you have. I think that's a good thing. I also think sometimes you just need to be like 15 games, go home. And, you know?
And the league is just clearly fed up with Draymond shenanigans. I think at this point, even the Warriors are fed up with Draymond shenanigans.
I don't know if that's true based on him having a sit down with Big Boss Man himself and... I don't know.
They suspended him in this situation far longer than they would for anyone else in the league.
Well, you have
anyone
to.
Else in the league
because
gets
he
in
has the
you have to. The history is there, yeah, right?
That's what I'm saying though. They're fed up with all the nonsense that he's done, and it's only gotten progressively worse. His temper, he hasn't made any steps on the court. Maybe he has the last month or whatever, but toward curbing his temper on the court. It just hasn't changed. It's gone the wrong way the last year or two.
Josh, do you think, as someone who's competed against him, as someone who knows this mentality, do you think he can change his intensity on the court and still be an effective player?
No, because I think it's his intensity on the court that made him who he is. And I think he was
what is
able
that,
to...
What is that like as an opponent? Like,
did you wear
going
a cup?
Against him? Like, no, like, just his... communication, his intensity, his execution on both ends of the floor. Like, what is that like to go against?
Well, listen, like, I've never been a big Draymond fan, like, but I could at least respect that he was a key to the Warriors' success when they were successful, right? The things that he did, the pressure that he took off of Steph and Clay, he was a great, like, objectively, he's a great defender. You know what I mean? He was yeah. the leader on the floor, the vocal leader on the floor. He was the enforcer, whatever you want to call it, all those things. But it's people aren't scared of him anymore. I think people used to be intimidated by the Warriors. They were intimidated by Steph and by Clay and by Draymond, but it's just not the same anymore and it doesn't work anymore. And I think he senses that. And it's a weird feeling for when has he not won? When have the Warriors not When has he not won?
Yeah, I mean, just the year that Steph was hurt all but five games.
Right, which was like a weird situation.
Yeah,
right.
Draymond was, they were great at Michigan like, State. Stopped trying during that right. time, too.
He was winner at Michigan.
All the way
Yeah.
They were great at Michigan. He was great at Michigan State. Gets to the Warriors. They immediately, almost immediately start winning. Right? Like, it's hard to let go when the end of an era hits, when a dynasty starts to fall apart. And I think he senses that, and I don't think he likes people not being scared of him anymore, honestly.
Yeah, I guess they're choking.
Because who's scared of him? Who's scared of the Warriors anymore?
Yeah, and...
Nobody.
Nobody.
They're bad. Yeah.
And nobody was scared of Draymond physically. It was like...
No,
they were,
no.
They were afraid that he was going to whip their ass on the basketball court.
Exactly.
And that he was going to mess up every single possession.
Exactly.
Make every right rotation, find Stephen Clay... in transition for runs that will just snap you out of everything you try to do. And that's what they were afraid of. And that's what they don't have anymore. And so now he's leaning more into the enforcer role and
it's not working.
It doesn't work.
Nobody backs down anymore.
I think it's time for us to open up the hot take safe zone. For those who don't know, something I have poached from my time at SiriusXM NBA Radio with Amin El Hassan, where we would get together on a Friday, host a show, we'd open it up the hot take safe zone. We cannot take down anyone's hot take here. Okay? Can't do it. We have to accept it. We have to celebrate it. We can ask questions to clarify, Jay, but those cannot be loaded questions. Those cannot be questions that show any kind of dispute in the hot take. These are questions that just, you know, we want a better understanding of what's going on. So the hot take safe zone is officially open. Who wants to go first?
I'm ready.
Jay's got a hot take for us. Okay, Jay, what is your hot take in the hot take safe zone?
The Milwaukee Bucks are toast. They are not going to do anything of significance this year. They might make the conference finals, but that's the absolute peak that this season could present.
But is, all right,
I'm afraid of saying this in real life. I will only say this in the hot take safe zone.
Really?
Their chances of a championship are gone.
Okay. So when you say toast, you're saying they can't win a championship.
They will not
because
win
you
a championship.
Saying, okay. You saying them going to the conference finals sounds successful to me.
I mean, yeah. You know Giannis wouldn't consider that a failure.
Well, the equipment manager's got to step it up.
The equipment manager does have to step it up. What a rant.
That is an insane thing to say.
I love... have you seen the movie Knocked Up?
Of course. You
know, Seth Rogen?
Of course, okay. Yes.
There's a moment where he's trying to tell Katherine Heigl that he's doing the dice thing too much. There's a moment where he's trying to tell Katherine Heigl that he hates her hormones, right? And he's like, bleep you, hormones. You're a bleep, hormones. Because he's fed up with her. It felt like Giannis kept inserting himself into we've got to be better, we can't die on screens. I include myself. It felt like this like way of getting around throwing his team under the bus. He's saying, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus here. I'm including this as well. But the whole time I was like, okay, so you're just like...
Was it a genuine I'm including myself as well?
It didn't seem like
when you
it
go after
me,
the equipment manager, man, was, like...
So I thought he brought in the equipment manager just to say, we're all in this together. Like,
but he said the equipment manager's got to wash our jerseys better.
Do you think his jersey was just right, stanking?
So what setting on the washer do we think is happening? Because he's not hand washing these jerseys, right?
Maybe
are the shorts cool? Shorts are cool, right? Like the shorts have been washed perfectly. It's just the jerseys that, or did he mean uniforms? Is he talking the whole thing? Josh, have you ever gotten your uniform like hung up in your locker and you're like, what the hell has happened here?
No,
this is dirty.
No, and I don't know. No. I think it was a cop out. I think it's a cheap shot at somebody who has literally nothing to do. Yeah. With anything on the basketball
court. I'll say it. This is not my hot take. This is as bad as Blake punching that equipment manager. All right, maybe not.
Oh, forgot about that.
That was a fun little jaunt.
That was wild times.
Okay, so Jace, you're saying their title hopes
they're toast. And the most important part of that Giannis rant was not... We're dying on screens. It was not throwing the equipment manager under the bus, as wild as that was. It was his direct shot at Adrian Griffin and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Now, defensively, we have to have a plan, Giannis said. What is our strategy? Are we going to give up a lot of open threes? Are we going to let them get in the paint when they go in the post? Are we going to stay with ours and play one-on-one? What is our strategy? He literally does not know what they are trying to accomplish on defense. He does not know what they want to take away. And this goes back to Mike Budenholzer, who was maybe the very best in the league at creating a defensive system to take away certain parts of the game, to give up other parts of the game. You know, and Giannis is like, I miss Mike Budenholzer. Adrian Griffin is not doing this right.
Well, maybe you should have got him fired. Then they are actually the second best team in the league at allowing three-point percentage. They allow the second lowest three-point percentage, but... They're, because I just looked these numbers up last night, I think they're 12th in wide open three-pointers attempted, allowed, and they teams shoot the worst in the league on what their 3-point numbers in terms of defense are completely smoke and mirrors. Teams just literally aren't hitting them against them.
They're just not getting like, very lucky. They're getting them up.
Yeah,
they're just not going.
They're getting. Right. Yeah, they're getting them up. They're just not. They're going in a 34% clip against the Bucks this year, and that is going to rise.
And you could look at their record. You could look at a lot of stuff they've done.
They're a good
team.
Just
overlook all of these issues. They're 25-11, but Giannis sees all the problems here. Like there are underlying issues here that the team is just not good enough defensively. He doesn't think the coaching staff clearly is doing the right job defensively. And that's the issue to me. And what are the answers here? Where are the defensive-minded wings on this team? Who is that going to be?
Jay
is it going to be Andre
Jay Crowder's
Jackson?
Hurt.
Is it going to be Marjon Beauchamp? Jay Crowder, like,
yeah,
is he that anymore? I don't know. And so
he's someone who knows what to do.
I think there are personnel issues. Giannis thinks there are foundational issues.
They need Thanasis.
Structure issues.
Why? And I look at the equipment manager.
The Bucks with Giannis and Dame both on the court. Both of them on the court have a 6.7 net rating, which is good.
It's really good, but it's not what
but
you would think.
When you have your two superstars on the court, you should be trouncing teams. Because most of their minutes, let's be honest, are probably with Brook Lopez. A lot of them are probably with Chris Middleton. They have their best players on the court with those guys.
Yeah.
And they're still like just pretty good.
I just want to remind everyone listening or watching on YouTube, it's the Hot Take Safe Zone. You can't now go and say, oh, Jay King doesn't believe in the Bucks. You have to accept it, okay? Mm-hmm. This is how the Hot Take Safe Zone works. We don't throw these down at all. I'm gonna go next. I'm gonna actually build off because Jay kind of has a little bit of what I've got in that the Bucks are toast. I'll take it a step further. My Hot Take Safe Zone submission. Dame's gone this summer.
Wow.
You know what I read?
When he said
we got to stop dying on screens, myself included. Who died?
You think
like
that was a direct shot at Dame?
Who could it be at?
Malik Beasley?
I don't think he's taking shots at campaign.
You don't know that.
Under fire.
But everyone expects campaign to like do this, right? Like maybe you should expect Dame at this point. Oh, Giannis.
Yeah, but why? You're more mad. I'm more mad at a guy like Cam for dying on screens than I am at a guy like Dame for dying. At least Dame's going to give me 30.
Sure, but Dame's also been pretty bad lately.
Yeah, and I'm also not going
to
argue.
And you're also used to playing with Drew Holiday, right? Like you've watched Drew Holiday for years. You've seen him avoid screens as well as anyone can do it. And now you're looking around and guys are just like, yeah, you know what? That's a good screen. Not much else I can do here.
Hey, got me.
Yeah. Oh, shit, man. Their shoulder really hit me there. Oh, man. Next time I need that called out a little sooner. Yeah, it's just a very, very much appreciation of good screens being set. Yeah, I took that part of the comment because he like what I think Eric Name wrote that Giannis talked for 7.5 minutes on all this, right? Just going
he's
off
pissed.
On all this stuff, right? He's real pissed. Yeah. And I think that when I saw that we got to stop dying, we can't die on screens. Oh, myself included. I was like, oh, Dame.
You saw subtext at Dame. There.
Big time. Like Jay saw subtext at Adrian Griffin. I saw subtext at Dame there. Mm. So that is my hot take in the Hot Take Safe Zone.
The only one who didn't get it was Brook Lopez. He kept saying, like, we can't expect Brook to clean all this up. Brook is good in his eyes.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Bobby Portis too. Like Bobby's good, right? But I'm like, well, Bobby Portis not exactly defensive player of the year here. Like that's not really is what I think of him on the court. Nothing would be funnier than the Pacers knocking them out in like the first round, right? Mm. Like a 3-6 matchup. Like if Tyrese
the Heat again would be funny. The Heat again would be funny.
You guys got to cut my internet. If the Heat beat the Bucks, you got to cut my internet. Don't let me online. Take my phone. Don't let me online. Same when they beat the Celtics too.
Dame is gone.
I think either Giannis will want him gone or he'll want to be gone, but I think he's gone.
Wow.
But that's just, again, Hot Take Safe Zone.
I love this hot take.
I thought I was going to be the only one coming out here with like Bucks Heat, and Jay comes out here and says like they're toast. So, you know, that was the next part of my
Dame is gone. I love this. I love this. This is a brilliant hot take.
Josh, what is your hot take in the hot take station?
Oh man, and I don't even know how hot this is. Lukewarm, mildly toasty.
Well, it's a safe zone, so don't worry about it.
No, no. I think Darvin Ham is done. I think he's gonna get. I think regardless of that win last night, it's over.
That win saved his job, though, right? If they lost the Clippers,
it postponed the inevitable.
Him coming out insane. People got to stop living and dying with our wins and losses.
It's the Lakers.
You can't say that.
It's the Lakers with LeBron. People are going to live and die.
Not only that,
they weren't living and dying with every single game. They were living and dying because you were 3-10 over your last 13 games.
Nobody gives a shit about the in-season tournament anymore.
And because you've been throwing out insane lineups, they spent that money already, man.
Like the money's gone. They spent that money. Like no one cares anymore.
He's gone. I don't know. I think it's coming. I think that postponed it a little bit. I don't think it's
Let me ask a question. How long do you think it's going to be? Like in season, or we wait until the summer?
No, in season. I think it's in season.
In season. Wow.
I think it's in season. Okay. I think that they're going to try to be on damage control here because again, it's LeBron. Like he. Mm-hmm. He has a history here. Let's go back and look. Luke Walton, Mike Brown, Frank Vogel, David Blatt. What do all those people have in common? They all coached LeBron. They all underachieved. And then what happened to him?
Gone.
Trounced. Gone. Yeah. Bye.
Well, it makes me wonder because I think LeBron's alluded to this before, and people have definitely talked about it. And this was the most evident with Luke Walton. Like if LeBron is going through a shoot around or a game plan or something and he thinks like you don't know what the hell you're doing, he's out on you.
No, he's right? done.
And I don't know.
He probably
if that's
does
with
know
Darvin
more
Ham,
than
but, yeah.
90 he knows more than 99%
of
coaches. Of
course. Well, but he doesn't know
For sure, he knows more. But
I don't know if you guys remember that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, Jay, you go ahead.
I don't know.
Jay, go right now. You go.
I don't know if you guys remember the clip from like early in the season. Might have even been the very first game of the season when LeBron was on the sidelines talking to Darvin Ham. He was mic'd up, and for whatever reason, the league released it. And LeBron was just kind of like, you know, I can be point guard, right? You know, you can like just give me the ball. It's okay. You don't have to give it
and
to me.
And then what happened? What position did he start playing?
Point guard.
But he's calling the shots. I think he's done. And the
but
other
I'm
part
just,
of my,
I'm also saying, yeah. like, there's a level of frustration with some of the stuff Darvin Ham is doing. We have seen windows into that.
For sure. And, well, it's coming out more and more now. All these leaks, all these reports with agents calling, frustrated. And so the second half of my hot take is that I believe that Phil Handy will take over as interim. I think having a guy who is respected throughout that locker room, it's Phil Handy.
Phil Handy's like the GOAT of like skill development, right?
Yes,
like
that's the guy. Who does LeBron work with in the offseason?
Yeah.
But works with him in the offseason. He's respected. He's a guy who I think all of them would follow and would listen to.
Do you think that... in this scenario, and I'm not trying to discount what Phil can be as a coach. Do you think in this scenario, he's then got like assistants who are handling more the game plan stuff, X's and O's, and Phil is like kind of the rah-rah, you know, respected voice leader? Or do you think Phil's, I don't know enough about Phil in that sense of like whether he has the X's and O's outside of skill development, right?
I think it's more about, a team has to have a head coach.
Mm-hmm. And maybe LeBron's the
so that's what I'm saying planner, is that right? I think that you put Phil Handy in the interim head coach role, but that is in name only. They need a filler. They need somebody to be the head coach, and LeBron will handle game plan going forward.
You know what I love about Phil Handy?
Player coach.
Is is his, I think his Instagram handle is like the real 94 feet or like the real Mr. 94 feet.
The real,
feet
the real
like
94 feet.
Because I'm pretty sure he got pissed that people were calling Pat Beverly Mr. 94 feet.
That's great. And I love that's, Phil. I think. But
dude, everybody loves Phil. Like
the Lakers are not cashing in on this. I don't think LeBron is going to cash in on this season and be done with it. I think that they're going to try to salvage something.
Well, and also like I wrote about this last week, like he can wield that player option. Like he's got a player option. Everyone assumes like, hey, 50 mil, but the way he's played this year, he'll get that everywhere. It's no longer like
no matter what.
We can get LeBron to sell some jerseys and some tickets and then and draft his son and we'll and you know he'll come here or whatever to play. Like no, like LeBron's still
an he's still performing. Player. Yeah, he's still performing. He's still worth that when you combine the skill and the ticket sales and the jersey sales and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
It was so eye-opening when Jovan and Shams wrote that piece about how players were frustrated with Darvin Ham, and in it they were like six different sources have said
that's a lot.
That's half the locker room. That's half the team.
That's no more like maybe there's like one pissed off player. That's like there's a lot of pissed off people in that locker room right now. That's not a leak. That's not a leak. That's
that's
the dam has it's broken.
It's not a leak. It's a town hall meeting. It's a movement. That's what that is. Like it's not
exactly.
All right. I feel like this is maybe the best hot take safe zone we've had.
Yeah, we came hot today.
Jace was okay.
Yeah, this is
Jace
good.
Was all right.
Yeah, Jace was fine.
You know
Jace
what? I thought mine was going to be the hottest, and then you guys were like, oh,
no, it was actually
Dame's getting traded, and Darvin Ham is fired in
Zach's
the next I kind of alluded to the Dame one in the group chat, I think this weekend or something like that. Maybe after those comments, or maybe I can't remember when, but I've started feeling this way for a couple of weeks now. Like, I don't know if Dame's long-term here. Just doesn't seem like it to me.
What a hot take safe zone. Today.
And now we close the hot take safe zone. We are going to bring you the panic meter right after this break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome back, Basket Buds Edition, Athletic NBA Show Podcast. We now break out the panic meter. The panic meter is 1 to 5, 5 being the most. We will have 4 subjects here. We'll decide how much of a panic we have with each of these teams. And we'll start off with the Golden State Warriors. Now, Draymond is podcasting again. He's apologizing, or not apologizing. He's really like commending Adam Silver and Bob Myers and everything, and you know, Jonathan Kuminga voiced displeasure allegedly about, well, I don't think we can say allegedly anymore. It was a report from Shams And so you want to be careful with that wording. But then, like, Steve Kerr came out and was like, yeah, I talked to him. We can't do that, like, publicly. That's got to all stay in-house. So I think we could say officially that this happened. Jonathan Kuminga was like, I don't like my playing time, and then played 36 minutes in a game. Like, they really had him out there. Except Chris Paul is now hurt. I believe he's out roughly a month with his hand injury. And so, guys, from a scale of 1 to 5 on the panic meter, Jay, how much panic do you feel for the Warriors?
Five. The sirens are blaring. The flames are bursting. Like, this is not going in the right direction. None of it is going in the right direction. They're done.
Even if they make the play-in tournament, even if they make the 8th seed, like, this is something that has really pissed off Jay throughout the season so far, is that Josh's first episode, he nailed this. He said the Warriors were done.
It was his first podcast ever.
Yeah, I remember. And you guys made me feel like such an asshole for this take.
I sure did. Yeah. And look who was the asshole. It was me.
Well, no, Josh is still an asshole.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're all assholes.
It was me. But yeah, we should have known when Bob Myers is like, you know what, guys? I'm out.
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Bob Myers did not want to be in charge as this thing fell apart because none of it was going to work out. But everything has come at the exact same time. Yeah. Andrew Wiggins, just no longer good at basketball. Man. He has made 2 shots combined in his last 2 games.
What? Is that real?
Yes. 2 shots combined in his last 2 games. Oh, yeah. He has grabbed 4 total rebounds in those 2 games.
Well, I mean, you know, rebounds.
He and Kuminga, when they're on the court, do you know what the team's net rating is when they're on the court?
I know it's not good. I know
it's not good. -20.6. That's twice as bad as the Pistons. The players who carried them to a championship, with the exception of Steph, have all taken enormous steps back. The players who are young and could be supplementing the talent on the roster are not good enough yet, including Kuminga, who thinks he's good enough. And it's ugly there. And there's no
The crowd's chanting for Moody. Yeah. Like, in the 3rd quarter. Like, it's rough out there.
And Kerr, it's got to be so hard for Kerr, because all these dudes that you won titles with, you have to be fair to them and give them chances to come back.
You're almost halfway through the season. Like,
but they went through a 15-67 year and then came back and won a title like a year and a half later.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he's seen this group do. That's what he's seen this team accomplish. Yeah. That's the heart and the resiliency that he's seen out of this group. And so, yeah, he's going to give them a long leash. But also, it's impossible right now. Yeah. He has an impossible job. And I don't think he's handled it correctly with everything. But it's also, it's impossible. Absolutely impossible. They're just not good enough right now, on top of being like just a mess.
Josh, scale 1 to 5. What's the panic meter?
5. Like, yeah. I don't think there's another answer. I don't think there's going to be, as far as Steph, Clay, Draymond, I don't think, especially Steph, I don't think Clay and Draymond are going anywhere, at least this season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going anywhere, but I think everybody else is on the chopping block, except maybe Jay's boy, Pajemski. I think he might be. I think he might be safe. But honestly, man, like what I saw with like the Kuminga thing, I think Kuminga is gonna be moved soon. Yeah. I get this.
I think he's really good, Josh. I don't.
He
know
is
you
good.
Feel.
No,
like,
no, no. I think
this.
He is.
I think
really
he's
good.
Really good.
I think in the right situation, he could absolutely be a big time player. I think what I saw coming out of that was, he wasn't get the time he wanted. He talks shit. And then he plays, 36 minutes the next night? And then it was like 25 last night, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that they are playing him more to increase his trade value.
Yeah.
I think they know that we want to move him. He pissed him off. They want to get rid of him. They want to move him. Let's give him the minutes. Let him try to look good out there and see what we can get for him. Because if he sits on the bench, he's not worth much.
Open the hot take safe zone back up real quick, okay?
Oh, here comes another one.
Draymond will end up where Dame ends up this summer. Close the hot take safe zone. Close it back up, all right? Close it back up. Yeah, I just think this team's done.
Yeah, it's not working.
And they started Kuminga and Wiggins together in their last game and just got trounced during those minutes.
They tried to showcase them both to the Raptors. Like, hey, these guys are 6'8", you'll like them.
Is there a world where Draymond comes back and unlocks some stuff and they actually start rolling? Not like they used to roll. Not 73 wins in a regular season.
But like we judge this team on championships, right? Like even still, like they're at no point this season have they played anything close to championship level basketball. We know what that looks like with them.
They're not even playing playoff level basketball.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, it's out of five. It's out of five. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one. What about the Atlanta Hawks? The Atlanta Hawks, I think they're 14-21 now. Apparently everybody except for Trae Young and Jalen Johnson on the trade block. Scale of 1 to 5, Josh. Where are you with the Hawks?
I'm thinking I got to go. It's a little different situation, right? Because we don't look at them as a champion. We don't expect them to play championship basketball like the Warriors. But I still am going to be at, can I do a 3.5?
Sure, yeah.
3.5. 3.5. Okay. I think moves need to be made. I mean, just watching them play, like, I do think that they need a good wing.
They gave up 50 assists.
Yeah, that's just not
50 and so, assisted baskets to the Pacers in a regulation game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Almost
what impossible. What do you think about Draymond ending up there, and then they can move
Draymond
Jalen
and Dame. Hold on, the Hawks.
Draymond, we don't want to set up Draymond with another Jordan Poole situation. There is no way he would enjoy playing with Trae Young. Just zero.
You know, I'm just thinking because then they can move Jalen Johnson to the three, which I think is a good spot for him at the three. I think they have to play him at the four right now. Either they need to bring in a legit three, or they need to bring in a good defending four man and be able to move Jalen Johnson to the three.
This is such an unserious franchise. I really thought, and this is on me, hand up, my bad. I thought Quinn Snyder was going to take this franchise to respectability. I saw them in the playoffs last season. It's like, there's something there. They are going to build something. They're going to come back. Their defense is going to be better.
There's something there. It's called four losses.
They are 28th in defensive efficiency. 28th. Trae Young has been
historically bad.
Yeah, they're not good
went out,
defensively.
They know that their franchise cornerstone is Trae Young, and they went out and got DeJounte Murray, whose defensive reputation far exceeds what he actually is as a defender on the court, who also kind of overlaps with some of what Trae does. Doesn't give you spacing next to Trae. And the clear vision here is Trae Young as the center of an offense surrounded by big, long dudes who could play defense. Yep. They couldn't get that right. They went out and got DeJounte, who doesn't fit. And here they are, 14-20. Just disgusting.
It's a 5.
Like Jalen Johnson's fun, though. He's cool.
I tried to tell you about him. It's a 5 for the Hawks. This is done. Like, this team is not capable of playing good
basketball. And
they're
still in financial hell.
They're in financial hell. Everyone should go. Like, this is a team that made the conference finals kind of by accident, right? Made the conference finals by accident. Like, they lucked into it. Congratulations, you made it, and you pushed the Bucks a little bit. But they made it because the Sixers short-circuited at home in a game 7, right? Since then, they have been garbage. this has been a disappointing team. Trae Young even talked about, like, early on that next season about, like, yeah, it's kind of hard to get up for these games when you've been to the conference finals. Like, that's the job.
That's how you get to the conference finals.
Right. It's by being good in those games. They do not understand. It doesn't matter. Like, it, and this,
this
is
this man thought he'd won six rings because he got to the conference finals.
This is a top to bottom issue. Like, this isn't just with the players or the coach. Like, the entire organization has no idea what they're doing. Like, it's just like there needs to be an entire overhaul. And maybe that, like, yeah, keep Trae, like, you don't have to trade Trae or whatever, but, like, build a proper team. And I think they tried to do that. But, man, like, this team is nothing to like, fear in any way. Because, you know, like, yeah, they're going to score, like, amazing offensive team, even worse on defense.
We're going
to
score way more.
And they are good
right?
on it. Yeah. Like, it's just there's no way to take them seriously. All right, what about the Brooklyn Nets? Brooklyn Nets are struggling. I believe they're 3-11 in their last 14. They violated the player participation policy over Spencer Dinwiddie. They've got some guys that they could move, right? Like Dorian Finney-Smith, nice guy to go get. Even Royce O'Neal wouldn't be a bad guy to go get. They got a lot of options there, a lot of players they could move. On a scale of 1 to 5, Jay, where are you with the Nets?
I'm like a 2. They're not good. They're not terrible. I never
they know they're not
good or terrible. Yeah. They need more. Maybe they need less. I don't know what direction
they need more. Maybe
in.
they need less. What does that mean?
I just mean maybe they tear it down. Maybe they tear it down.
This is a tear down. This is a tear down. It's got to be
tear
right?
What down?
No, but I'm just saying, like, they need to start moving. They need to start moving. Like, Mikhail is untouchable. To them, I think for them. Okay. I think he's the only guy off limits, right? I think they've got some valuable pieces. Claxton, I think a lot of teams would like to have a guy like Claxton, like Cam Johnson, Royce O'Neal, Dorian Finney Smith.
They have a bunch of pretty good players.
They've got pieces that teams would like to have, right? Like the other week we were talking about OKC, somebody bringing an OKC. I was thinking maybe Claxton could be, I think, feel like would cool. be cool that to see come off the bench behind Chet.
Yeah.
A guy like Claxton, he can play the speed they want. He's long and athletic. Like, they've got valuable pieces that teams that want to win championships would like to have. Royce O'Neal plays good defense, 3-and-D guy, like can, you know, can be a good piece on a championship team. Same with Cam Johnson. Same with Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, these are all guys who have
Finney-Smith is a dog, man.
They have market value. They're not stars.
The Nets only have a supporting cast.
Like, but they will make a team
better. Supporting cast, and that's it.
Because every time they get stars, they're either too old or they decide they want to leave.
I think that teams that want to win the champion, like, are like on the cusp there, that are trying to make a good state, are looking at the Nets thinking, there's a team we can talk to about bringing. There's certain players on that team who can help give us that little extra that's going to take us to the next level.
Yep. I'm with you. Like, I think I'm a 2, like Jay.
Yeah.
Because they're not supposed to be good this year. I'm actually surprised they've been so good offensively and so bad defensively. Like, to me, that's the weirdest part of every, like, they've got Dorian Finney-Smith, they got Royce O'Neal, they got Mikal Bridges, they got
they
Nick Claxton. So like, they've got a
small.
Bunch. They've got a
they
bunch of defensive
small.
Players.
Yeah.
They do. Sure, but like, you can still.
It's hard to be good on defense when you play that small, even if you have good defenders.
But not that bad defensively. And I also just don't. I guess it's regressed a little bit during these last couple of weeks, but like, that good offensively, I just didn't see coming. You know, like, I just didn't think this was a team that could flirt with like top 10 in offensive rating at all. I thought they would be a great defensive team that couldn't score or couldn't score consistently. But yeah, like, this is a team, like, you just lost Kyrie and KD and Harden over the last like year and a half. You're not supposed to be good. Mm. I would move a couple of pieces, but keep Mikhail. I'd keep Claxton. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Everyone else. Like, I'd dangle like Cam Johnson out there. And see what you
I think winning teams would love to have Cam. Long Absolutely. Wing, can defend, can shoot the ball, plays hard.
He's signed long term. Yeah.
Yes. He's a perfect, like, seventh man coming off the bench. Like, I would love to see Cam on, like, a contender because I think he would make him better.
All right. Last one in the panic meter. Oh, those lovable Lakers. They have been terrible since the in-season tournament, since the NBA Cup, the money has been spent. Darvin Ham's on the hot seat. LeBron is mad at his team. He's mad at international reporters asking about Ricky Rubio after a loss. But he's not mad at Ricky Rubio. He wants Ricky to know he respects him.
It was just a dumbass. He made sure that everybody knew it was just a dumbass question.
That poor reporter.
That's unfair. It was clearly a Spanish reporter. Yeah, it was clearly a Spanish reporter. It's a huge news story. Like, hey, you got to get
this.
This dude, Ricky, has played professionally longer than LeBron. Like,
pretty much, yeah.
No, he has.
That long.
Yeah. He has played, I don't think there's anybody, maybe Luis Scola, but anybody else playing that's played as long as him.
I got to hear it. Schlecht, hit me with that audio.
LeBron, yes, a question not related to the game, if you allow me. Ricky Rubio announced his retirement from the NBA yesterday. What do you think about the career that he has had in the NBA?
I'm not really in the mood to answer that question, but I respect Ricky. Congratulations on a hell of a career. And if I don't seem sincere when you see this video, it's because we got our ass whooped again, and I apologize. So it was actually bad timing on the interviewer asking me this question. It's not me, Ricky. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So, Josh, where are you with the Lakers? Scale of 1 to 5. How much panic?
5 for sure. I think they fall into that same category of the Warriors, especially any team that LeBron plays for automatically has to be a contender. Anything less than a championship season is a failure. Like, that's just how it's been. And I mentioned earlier, like, LeBron's history with underachieving coaches, like, it's going to get shaken up. I think he is fed up. I think he's pissed. I think that he has no problem cutting ties with players, coaches, whatever it is. So I think something's coming. Like, barring some just incredible bounce back by them in the next few weeks, like, something big. Lakers are going to be making moves come February.
Jay, scale of 1 to 5, panic meter.
This is 5. They have no clue. Darvin Ham and his coaching staff have shown no clue with putting this roster together into a viable team. They are playing lineups that have no chance of scoring the basketball.
Yeah.
They are, for whatever reason, minimizing some players who are pretty good to maximize other players who are not very good. Darvin Ham has come out and said a few times, like, can't judge me, we're not healthy, whatever. It's like, you got minor injuries, man, in the NBA. You got LeBron James, right. You got Anthony Davis.
You got Anthony Davis, the most healthy he's been in how long? Like, yeah,
what are you talking about?
What are you
complaining about? Just find a way to put guys around them who can actually have a chance of scoring the basketball.
Right.
And all the lineup choices there have just been wild.
Yeah.
Well,
you and I were almost anything. We almost liked that big lineup they played. Remember, we were talking about that one game. They played that big lineup with LeBron at point. Everybody on the floor other than Anthony Davis was a 3 or a 4. It was like LeBron, Torian Prince, Cam Reddish, AD, and they played this gigantic lineup. For a split second, I was like, I might like this lineup. And it just hasn't happened.
Yeah. Probably because none of the 6'9 guys are good at basketball. I don't know. They also don't have, like, they don't have any movement shooting. There are limitations to this roster. But they've done a bad job of putting it together. And you just have to put out lineups out there that could score. And they're starting Austin Reeves lately, which I think is a step in the right direction. But
I don't know about, just because I don't think they have enough off the bench. Like, I actually don't know what you should do with Austin Reeves. Because this team just isn't very good. I saw someone, a Lakers fan, but like a Lakers fan that like is really level headed about this stuff that I respect, was like, you can see that when they're in a bigger environment that this team can bring it, like we saw with like the NBA Cup, right? And so they just have to get to the playoffs healthy, and then their level of play can be as high as it needs to be. If like it was single elimination playoff style, I think I would buy into that, but I don't know that I can buy into that for a 7-game series, Josh. Like, to me, the intensity and the focus and the talent level that it takes to keep succeeding when it's not just a one-off, I don't know if this I don't think this Lakers team has that.
Yeah, the playoffs are a different beast. And like, you say you're going to get more out of the Lakers in the playoffs. You're also going to get more out of the Nuggets or...
Denver is sleepwalking right now. They are not trying. Right. You can't convince me the Nuggets are trying.
I don't know. Jokic, you're going to get more out of three field goal attempts against Detroit. He's trying pretty hard.
So, I don't know. I don't buy in on that too much. Obviously, it's hard for me to bet against LeBron, like I mentioned a few weeks ago. Like,
yeah,
betting against LeBron isn't always smart, but I just don't think this is the team. This isn't it, as it stands now.
And for me, it's you have to figure out lineups. Part of the regular season is figuring out lineups, how to maximize your team. They haven't done that. It's gotten so bad that the belief there is clearly... It's gone. They have no belief in the team right now. They have no belief in the coach right now. LeBron, even if it was a lighthearted moment, saying like, my son could play minutes on this team easily.
That's a terrible...
bad look.
Is he speaking more about the ability of his son or the lack of ability with his team?
Probably both.
Son played 19 minutes for USC the other night.
It might have just been a lighthearted moment, but either way, it's a bad look.
I don't know. Not a good look, no.
And to me, like, we've seen the Lakers raise their play in the playoffs. We saw it last season. They got mollywopped by the Nuggets. They got swept. And they can say it. We were in every game. They got destroyed in every moment that mattered. Every moment that mattered. Yeah. I think they were up like 15 or 20 in game four of that sweep, and LeBron had a huge first half. They could not keep Denver from coming back and winning that game, sweeping that series. This team's not good enough at their best. So why are we going to trust them now just because they can be better than 3-13 in their last
13 I'll tell
games,
you exactly
3-10
what
in their
it
last
is.
13 games or whatever it is.
Like, I'll tell you exactly what it is. Why people are afraid to write it off. Because nobody wants to be clipped online. That's all it is. LeBron's got a resume, and
the Bucks.
This, the hot take safe zone's closed, man. Don't just go throwing this stuff out there willy nilly. Like, we got protocol here.
This is real. The Lakers.
But you can't say like the Bucks because that takes your hot take out of the safe zone. Okay.
Okay. I'll leave that one in the safe zone.
I'm just trying to.
The Lakers for real are toast.
Like, no one wants to get clipped, but what part of this looks good? Like, just none of this team. Again, like we talked with the Warriors, we know what it looks like when they play championship basketball. None of this looks like that. Like, none of this. Like, and we haven't seen that. And I, like, look, maybe changes can happen. Phil Handy becomes a coach. They make a trade. Who knows? But none of this, from what we've seen so far, it even approaches what it would take for them to truly matter in the playoffs. And if we're 35-ish games into the season, we haven't seen that yet, without a major change, we're not going to see that. Like, that's just, you don't all of a sudden, Josh, become really good 35 games into a season, right?
No. I mean, even if they did bring in somebody new, like, there's that little weird adjustment period. And this late in the year, it's too late for adjustment periods.
To like become only, from like a mediocre team to like a
right,
great team.
The only hope that you would have is that it's just good enough to get him in a position to be in the play-in. And then all of a sudden they hit their stride in April or May, right? Like, that's
kind of what happened last year, I guess.
Yeah. Right. That's the only hope. Yeah. Otherwise, that's it's just not feasible.
Make sure you are dropping your panic meter scores, your hot take safe zone. You can do that in the comments on YouTube. Everyone loves YouTube comments. We love to see them. Jay reads over every single one of them. Every single one.
YouTube comments are very safe and inclusive space.
Very safe. That's the real safe zone is YouTube comments. Yeah. That's gonna be the sweet spot right there. Make sure you subscribe to The Bounce. Subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic NBA Show podcast, both on YouTube and on every single podcast platform that exists. Do not leave one out. For Jay King, for Josh Eustace, for Dave DeFore, for Andrew Select, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.